Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, I'm trying to stay cool, calm, and collected and not overreact to a preseason game against the Sacramento Kings. But is Brandon Ingram, like, when they put his statue out in front of Staples Center, like, how are they going to design something with that long a wingspan? Like, I feel like that's an actual architectural marvel.
I feel like that poor bastard Cameron Reynolds is going to be in the statue trying to inbound the ball when they do.
That's got to be his statue. Like, no, his statue has to be like, you know, kind of, it has to be able to move, and it can be something that Laker fans can try, like, as they're walking into the gym. They can try to get it passed by Brandon Ingram's statue.
Oh, right, and it can be kind of lifelike, right?
Yeah, it can react.
It can be motion-sensitive. Deflecting about your own inbound passes.
I remember there was an old Lakers, like, highlight documentary back from when I was a kid. I used to go to the video rental store down the street, and I'm dating myself just by referring to one of those things. But I used to go there, and there was this like kind of Showtime documentary, and one of the segments was about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and it was about the skyhook and how he would torture opposing centers. And mm-hmm. Daryl Dawkins in the thing, I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere, said that he played against Kareem and couldn't sleep the night after. He just kept saying skyhook, skyhook, skyhook left, skyhook.
So that Cameron Reynolds definitely did not get good sleep last night. Yeah.
he dreamt of Slender Man, like he. So that's actually where we're going to start today. As you haven't noticed, in case you haven't noticed, we're going to start by talking about Brandon Ingram, and then we're going to talk about LeBron James. And I think that was the closest that we've seen to, like, regular season trying LeBron James.
Yeah.
In the second quarter, and then the third segment, because the Lakers played without a point guard other than Alex Caruso, we're going to talk about what that looked like and what those lineups might be able to look like over the course of the season. So fun show here. And again, I'm trying to not overreact. It is the Kings. It is preseason. But Brandon Ingram, just listen to these numbers, all right? He goes, in 35 minutes, he shoots 10 of 15 from the field, 11 of 15 from the free throw line, which I think is the most notable thing.
Yes, yes.
31 points, he was a plus 8, had 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. And then Alex Regla, who writes for Silver Screen and Roll, said he led the team with, I think it was 5 deflections. I don't know if I believe that number because he had like 4 in that one stretch. So I don't know if they're not counting kickballs. Maybe they don't count kickballs.
Yeah, I don't think kickballs are counted in that, but maybe they are. I'm not sure. But yeah, so I want to go back to before this season and when we were doing the team previews. And what I hope to see out of Brandon, a few things. I wanted to see a huge jump on the defensive end, and so far so good in that respect. I think he's been way more active with his length, of which was very humorous last night on that inbound pass. But even outside of that, right? Like, he's been getting deflections, getting steals, closing out. His closeouts have been phenomenal, especially when you see it in person. It's like, oh yeah, that dude's not making that shot. Like, you know it as soon as he extends. Like, if Ingram gets a chance to extend before that guy's released the ball, the shot's not going in, like, almost every single time. And he's been just really, really good on the defensive end. Even before yesterday's huge game, I was really happy with BI in terms of he has been making smart winning plays. He had, I think, 4 points or 5 points in the game before, and I thought it was a good game from him. Like, yeah. He did not force the issue. He made the right play just about every time he had the ball in his hands. It's been interesting. Like you said, the 15 free throw attempts yesterday, I think, is going to be hugely key to his offensive success going forward. I mean, it's only 3 games into the preseason, but I don't think we're going to see this, like, prolific 3-point shooter.
Mm-mm.
Type of guy. Like, I don't know what percentage he's going to shoot. I just don't think he's going to take a ton of them. But he's been great off of the ball, you know, next to LeBron. But yesterday he had a lot more on ball attempts, which he was phenomenal at in this game. And that's where he's going to get most of his free throw attempts from. So I think that's going to be an area where that's a place where he can make up for maybe the lack of 3-point shooting. What one last point mm-hmm. is he in the first half was great off of the ball alongside LeBron, like I said. Second half was more on the ball, and he murders teams that don't have rim protection on the inside.
Yeah.
Like, watch the Atlanta – when he played Atlanta last year, it's just like, oh, you've got John Collins and some dude like Mike Muscala, like – in a drop coverage, well, that's great. In a drop coverage, you're supposed to protect the rim, but I'm just going to go over and around you. Yeah. And he did the same thing, especially in the second half last night when the Kings had like Marvin Bagley, as the, you know, Wenyen Gabriel, guys like that down there trying to protect the rim. They just have no chance. And that's going to be important going forward in a league that has more and more small lineups, where he's not going to be able to do that against a lot of when there's a lot of traditional fives in the game. But when the game gets small in the second half, if that's freaking PJ Tucker back there, he's going to eat. And yeah, that's important.
I thought the other thing too. You said that he was going, you know, around and over in those cases, but I thought last night it was impressive to see him start to go. He's never going to go directly through people like LeBron does. He's just not built that way. But I mm-hmm. did think when he attacked somebody's shoulder, it wasn't last year when he attacked somebody's shoulder, he would get knocked back a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Last night I saw him attack a shoulder and the defender would give a step. And now maybe that's because it was the Kings and they don't have very many strong defenders. They're a very young team. But that was good to see, because even against younger defenders last year, Ingram wasn't doing that.
Yeah, no, he's strong for his build. Like, he's a guy that when he takes contact, he might get knocked off of his line, but he's still going to try and kind of pursue the front of the rim. And if you don't have those big strong guys back there that are going to knock him off of his spot and make him turn a layup into a fadeaway, like, yeah, he's going to finish around the rim. It's great to see.
I have another point to make here about Brandon Ingram. So we're going to take a quick second here. When we come back, I thought last night highlighted how he's best going to fit with LeBron. So we'll get to that here in a second. Let's take a quick second here to talk about Mazuma. Mazuma USA has been incredible with us. They've been incredible with me. As my wife will tell you, I am awful at managing our finances. It's almost comical at this point. And Mazuma has walked me through the steps of getting organized, and now they're going to help get me through the steps of staying organized with their bookkeepers, with their CPAs, with their tax consultants. They've been incredible, and they can be just as incredible for you for starting at only $75 a month. If you're a small business owner and keeping track of your finances is taking you away from the business that you love, that you initially got in there for, contact Mazuma. They gave me a number, 213-947-6926, that you guys can call and set up a free consultation. Again, that's 213-947-6926. I'll give that to you, that number to you again here in a little bit. But again, they've been really good. It's a one-stop shop if you're a small business and you're looking to get your finances completely organized. Mazuma, your small business's one-stop shop for bookkeeping, taxes, and unlimited accounting advice. Here's that number again, 213-947-6926. Let's take another quick second and we'll get back to the show. Last night it was very apparent to me, and it became crystal clear. I think it was one of those things. Maybe it's confirmation bias because it was the way that I thought he was best going to fit with LeBron. But the impact that Brandon Ingram is making on the defensive end, leading to transition and then getting out and running in those things, like, that's how it's going to work. The half court stuff is going to come over the course of the season, but if the Lakers are going to have any success early on in 2018-2019, it's going to come through defense turning into offense. And last night, if Ingram is as active as he was last night, and in those lineups, maybe if it isn't the starting lineup initially because Rondo, you know, is seen as the starter, but in lineups where the Lakers have Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, and LeBron out there, like, those are teams that's going to be a tough team to score on. That's especially if JaVale is also out there, right? And so if you have those five guys out there, and they're able to get in passing lanes, get rebounds, make teams uncomfortable, and then get out and run, well, that's how the Lakers are going to find success, especially early on in the season.
Agreed with that. I have concerns, though. Like, a lot of that lineup was out there last night, and they gave up 39 damn points to the Kings in the first quarter.
Well,
and,
Lonzo is going to be really important.
Totally, totally, yeah. For sure. I just Josh Hart is not a good perimeter defender, man. He's getting cooked out there. Mm-hmm. And
he's way too comfortable.
And Brandon is not, he's too long to adequately defend those twitchy guys. Like, if they jab step or fake in one direction and cross over, they've taken 2-3 steps by the time he's taken his next mm-hmm. step. That's not a criticism. It's just you got to see Brandon's legs in person. People talk about his wingspan. His legs are insane. Yeah. But when they're that long, longer levers make slower movements. It's not fair to ask a guy like that to cover a De'Aaron Fox or mm-hmm. or even a Buddy Hield type of guy who's coming off of screens or making one dribble, changing direction. And so I'm concerned about the Lakers' defense at the point of attack. I agree that that's what they're going to need to do to really maximize their potential. But for me, that their perimeter defense especially is far and away my biggest question about this team. And I hope that Lonzo fixes a lot of that. But I don't know how much one man can do, especially when it's a guard.
Yeah, I think that's all true. The other thing, too, I think the Lakers are going to have to figure out a way to balance how fast they want to play offensively and how fast they play defensively. Because I see a lot of overhelping. I see a lot of traps that don't need to happen. And I think that's an effect, I think, of a team that's carrying over the way that their offensive principles to the defensive end. And I don't think that's something that they want to do. It's going to put them in situations where they give up open shots because they're overextended.
Very much so. And Rondo is a guy who, when he's on the ball, he kind of swipes at it. And mm-hmm. if he's not, if that didn't do anything, he's not playing really great positional defense. He's a guy who cheats on a lot of those traps and mm-hmm. a lot of those overhelps. Josh overhelps as well. And so those are all things. I want to ask Luke about this because I don't know, most of these guys know what they're supposed to be doing. In one sense or another. With Josh, I think in particular, his heart is in the right place. I think he has bad technique. He's mm-hmm. very prone to falling for a jab step or a crossover or something. Like, he bites at everything. Yeah. Kuzma's similar in that he's got happy feet in a bad way. There's a lot of skipping as opposed to sliding. And yeah, so there's a lot of work to be done, even just from a player development standpoint. But I don't know, this stuff isn't that complicated, and it's frustrating to see 39-point quarters to the Kings.
What's funny, and we'll get to the 39-point quarter to the Kings here in a second, but what's funny is that, Luke is actually a really good guy to learn from, because, he didn't have the athleticism to get faked out. I remember watching him defend against Paul Pierce or whoever that he was going against when he was playing, and it would be funny to watch because they'd throw these fakes and be like, I literally can't move, man. Like,
they'd throw a double move on him and then he'd be like, I'm still in the same spot as I'm right here. Therefore, I am right in front of you. Yeah. It's funny. Luke in the press conference last night was a bit exacerbated. He didn't let us ask questions first. He was like, all right, I want to start. Mm-hmm. And he was frustrated about the defense. And then he was asked about Brandon's great game. And he was just saying, you can do this all the time. Yeah. You always have that length. he was pissed off at the defensive effort, including Brandon.
Yeah.
And it was just especially with him, you have so much in the way of tools. You need to use them more frequently than you do. And I think he has been, but Luke wants to see more, and fair enough. But yeah, I know this is a point of frustration for Luke right now.
Yep. It was so frustrating, not just to Luke, but to LeBron, that LeBron went out there in the second quarter and was like, all right, guys, it's one thing when it's the Nuggets and they're a playoff, but this is the damn Sacramento Kings. and I think you tweeted it, either you or Domin. I forget. Maybe Domin copy and pasted your tweet. But I saw you tweet that it felt like LeBron was so frustrated that he went out there. And that was the closest that we've seen to regular season intensity LeBron. And it resulted in the Lakers beating the Kings in the second quarter by, I think, 8 points, coming back, and they wound up winning the half. So a couple things here. One, good on LeBron, right? Like, guys, come on, you know. And that's where I've been hesitant to say that he's just sitting back passively to let and letting these guys make the mistakes the way that he did in Cleveland. I don't think he's going to do that because he just doesn't have that kind of time to let the entire organization turn around. But the other thing too is when people are drawing conclusions from this Lakers team, that's what I always point to. We haven't seen LeBron play like LeBron yet, and when we did, the Lakers looked like a playoff team. They looked like a really good team.
This is what I think is missing in the calculus of those who are saying that Lakers are going to miss the playoffs or have a good chance to, is I've so missed having a guy that's like, okay, I'm going to score now.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like scoring now and can do that for a decent stretch of time. And LeBron's a guy, and he's a little different than Kobe in this respect, where LeBron can do it strictly off the sheer his size.
Yeah.
You know, like he's so big and so fast. He can physically dominate a game in a way that like very few, like Shaq is that type of now it's from a different position and he's not as big, but he's faster and he has ball handling ability. And so he just goes in the lane, man, just, yeah, exactly. And he can shoot. And so guys just like bouncing off of him and all that. And that is something that having that, I think the Lakers shoot to easily the top 10 in the NBA in offensive rating this year, you know, which is why it goes back to the defensive end for me. If they're even an average team, then this is going to be a hell of a squad. But I have concerns there. But yeah, having a guy like LeBron that's just like, okay, I'm going to do this now, and then just murders a team for 4 or 5 minutes, and in part to make a statement to his teammates too. This is what I believe anyway. It's hard to undersell how valuable that is.
It was funny to watch the other Lakers while LeBron went into LeBron mode yesterday.
Yes.
It was funny because they were just like, oh my God, you know,
right.
It was just,
you can do that. Can I do that? No, you can't do that.
Yeah, he would, you know, get to the basket and poor Buddy Hield. Like there were times where he was matched up against Buddy and it was just, you know, we talked about Brandon Ingram, you know, challenging defenders' shoulders and stuff. And when LeBron challenges somebody's shoulder, you feel for that shoulder. Like it looks like it physically hurts. And I was just, it was funny to watch the other Lakers on the court and on the bench just kind of like, oh, we get to play with this guy for all year?
Totally, man. And it's funny that you say the, like, out, that shoulder looks like it hurts. I really crack up. And it's not just a preseason thing. Like, just guys who are like, you know, you could step in and take that charge, but like, nah, I'm good.
Business
like,
decisions.
yeah, business decisions. I'm not doing that in the second quarter of game three, you know, like,
yeah.
And so, yeah, just they're free points in some ways. Like they're these, and he can access it so often. It's such a hard thing to stop, which is why going back to the playoff thing, like if the Lakers, like I am more expecting the Lakers to start slow than anything else.
Yeah.
Like I expect them to
sleep.
They do. And I think they're going to be 500 or below for the first 15, maybe even 20 games of the season. But when it comes down to it, LeBron is going to access those moments as often as he needs to get to where he needs to. And that's why I talk about, like, even once they're in the playoffs, if the Lakers are a, say, 48-win team and they're playing another 48-win team, they're probably going to beat that 48-win team in a seven-game series because LeBron will, like, they will be better than a 48-win team relative to how often LeBron accesses that. Does that make sense?
It highlights how important it is the Lakers don't land in, like, the eight seed, right? Because that's the only situation where they don't the play another 48-win team.
and I'm so curious to see what would happen in a series with Houston. Like, is Houston one of those teams where it's like LeBron is not enough to overcome that? But anybody else, I pick the Lakers in a seven-game series.
I don't think Houston's good. Like, I'm gonna get out in front of it. I've watched them this preseason. The additions and subtractions that they made this year are really going to hurt them, especially against LeBron. Get out of here. Carmelo's going to guard LeBron, please. All right, we're gonna take a quick. There's condescending Anthony. Like that's when I start showing up, when I start getting competitive and thinking about these matchups. But we're gonna take a quick second, and when we come back, I think there's one more point to make about LeBron and Brandon Ingram to kind of to tie a knot on those first two segments. So we're gonna start there, and then we're gonna talk about what we saw from the point guardless Lakers last night. So I thought the biggest development last night wasn't just Ingram getting to the free throw line as often as he did. Wasn't just Ingram like realizing, wow, I can do this stuff defensively. This is kind of cool. I thought bigger than any of that was the reaction from the bench while Ingram was doing that stuff. And then LeBron talking about it after the fact and saying that he wants to help get Brandon Ingram there. That is so huge.
and
monstrous.
I don't think B.I. gets those four in a row without the encouragement of his teammates. Like,
yeah.
after the first one, like people were like, yeah, and then the second one, and then it started like amping up, and then by the fourth one, they were going nuts, right? Yeah. And that's veteran leadership right there. Who is more excited than anyone? It was Rondo and Lance Stephenson and LeBron. Like, that was the most genuine smile I've seen from LeBron since he's been. And I don't want to psychoanalyze the man. Just
no, I was
like,
thinking he the was, same thing.
He was purely happy in that moment, and they were all like at that point, Brandon had no choice but to go nuts and like give everything he had to get that deflection, because like that's the best kind of peer pressure that they were applying. And and that's leadership, you know, and it's just so fun and so great to see. And I think that's the value of having those vets around.
I completely agree. And I'm not going to say it was lip service, because I think that's a step too far in the other direction, what LeBron has been saying about Brandon Ingram to this point. But last night it was that you actually, I mean, we talked earlier, we joked earlier about how like the other Lakers saw what LeBron was doing and they had that like, oh, wow, look at this guy kind of moment. But I thought it was actually reciprocated through LeBron looking at Brandon Ingram like, oh, wow, look at this guy.
You know, the thing about a guy like LeBron, and this would be true of a guy like Rondo too, is LeBron does not care about like the long term. Like, he's not invested the way us fans are in the young guys and what they could be and maybe might be someday. LeBron is 33 years old. He wants to win more championships, and he signed here for a long time to do it. So LeBron is going to be impressed when you go out and friggin' do it.
Right.
You know, like, make the play. Not like, oh, this is what he could be someday. Go out and show me. And when you do, you'll get praised for that, right? Mm-hmm. And everything else is going to be lip service. It's going to be, I like this guy. Yes, he's going to be something else, right? Like,
yeah.
But in those moments, those are the genuine moments where guys do. And they'll know that, right? They'll know that in those moments that they have earned respect from a guy like LeBron and a guy like Rondo, and not from a what they could be, but from what they just did in that moment. And that'll encourage them to do those, to have those moments.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say, like Ingram has no excuse now. He did it. LeBron saw it. And LeBron's going to keep telling him, no, I saw you in that Sacramento game, bud.
You have it in you. You can either do that or you can't.
Yeah.
Right? And you can do that. So do it. And again and again.
Yep. I'm getting pumped. Can the Lakers play again, like, right now?
And they play like crap. Like, listen to us. We're like eternal optimists, right?
Yeah.
Like, we do need to have, not in this episode, the defense, man. Like, I've brought it up a couple times. We should probably dive deeper into it in a future episode. But, man, that's going to determine so much about this season.
Well, I wanted to talk about it here. And here's where, look, the Lakers played last night, and they're still only in their third game together. And they're going to play a type of defense that requires them to be all on the same page. So it's going to take time for them to get there. But from those point guardless lineups, like, that's why you don't necessarily go point guardless, for a couple of reasons. One, you need a point guard to guard a point guard, right? Like, Josh Hart was not capable of staying in front of De'Aaron Fox. And what he wound up having to do was sagging off to keep him in front. and De'Aaron Fox just punished him by hitting threes. Now, I don't know if that's sustainable from De'Aaron Fox because
sure.
He's never
shown. And there was also miscommunication there, right? Yeah. They're supposed to be switching a lot. Luke wanted to switch everything with that starting lineup, and they didn't do that. But yes, you need guys who will not get thrown 3 feet in the wrong direction off of a crossover.
Right, yeah. And so you had that going on. And then the other thing, too, point guards, you always hear this. This is an age-old cliche, but the point guard tends to be the extension of the coach on the court, right? And while most of the communication from the best defenses come from the big on the court because he has everything in front of him, point guards just through habits tend to talk, especially Rondo, right? And I thought last night a lot of the miscommunication occurred from no communication. It just wasn't happening out there.
And it wasn't just last night's game. It's been all three.
Yeah. And so when in those situations where, you know, Rondo has been sitting and we haven't seen Lonzo at all, like that's where that starts to kind of show up, is not having those guys out there. So I'm kind of I want to see this team at its fully, as close to fully healthy as possible. We aren't going to see Mo Wagner, right? But I want to see this team with both its point guards on the court for, you know, 48 of the 48 minutes or 46 of the 48 minutes, whatever it is. I want to see them out there before I make any kind of judgments about the defense. But there are a couple things that I think need ironed out that don't require a point guard's presence, starting with the boxing out. Like everybody wants to get out and run. Nobody's tagging an offensive rebounder. And that's how teams, I think, are going to go at the Lakers and prevent them from running, is like right now in the NBA, there's kind of this movement to not offensive rebound and just get back in transition.
Right.
But if you're playing against the Lakers and that's the way that they're going to beat you, and you aren't going to be able to beat them if you're just getting back in transition, well, then send everybody to the offensive boards.
Right. Absolutely.
And so what the Lakers are what they're going to have to learn is the physicality that comes with coming off the communication in rebounding and the physicality in rebounding. And until they get that, that's where I'm the most worried about this defense.
Very much so. It's on the interior in a lot of respects in terms of rebounding, and then their point of attack defense, man. And part of that is not having a point guard out there when Rondo is not like
he's
a
not great that point defender.
Of, like he is when he wants to be. He's more of like a really smart defender when he wants to be than a great point of attack guy at this point of his career. But just like folds arms, right? Guard your man, you know, like. Yeah. It has to start with that. We can talk scheme and this and that, but if you cannot stay in front of your man, like things break down. It becomes a 5-on-4 situation in one respect or another if you can't guard your man. And if you're switching, then friggin' switch. And then that guy has to guard that. Like that's your man now. But they are not like – they're falling apart at the first line of defense. And no matter what's happening behind them, that's going to be problematic.
Yeah. It's something that we're going to have to watch throughout the season. I'm still willing to say that they can figure it out, but I'm sure. More and more, like the more I think about it, the more I would like to have a better traditional backup center. Like Beasley is trying, and maybe he'll come around and maybe he'll figure it out. He's looked slower than I thought he was going to look. This preseason, agreed. He's not getting by. Like, there's no point in going small if your big can't take their big off the dribble. Like, there's no point. Right. So if unless Beasley, maybe we'll find out. Like, Beasley has something tweaked or whatever. Maybe he isn't quite sure enough yet to go at other bigs the way that you need to. We'll see. But the more I think about it, I just think I'm fine with having another traditional center back there because they tend to help you run. Like, you don't need your center to be – JaVale McGee is perfect for this because he's a gazelle and can get up and down the court like crazy. But I just need a big who can communicate on the back line, who can defend the rim, and can either box their guy out and allow the other players on the court with him get rebounds and run, or grab it himself and outlet the ball quickly. I'll give it time, but the more I think about this Lakers team and the way it's built, I'd like to see a more traditional backup center.
you know who's given them good minutes? He's not going to make the roster, but Jonathan Williams. I've been really impressed by the minutes that he's given in all of the respects that you're talking about there. Like, he's just a dirty work type of big. He is not a traditional big. And even Zhu, to give him credit, he played six minutes last yesterday. Night. He was much better on the defensive end. Like, yeah. If nothing else, I want Zhu to protect the rim. So watching friggin' Mason Plumlee go 11 for 11 in 19 minutes,
yeah.
Like, that pissed me off because a lot of it was on Zhu. And, you know, there's teammates involved too, but, like, that should be what Zhu is good at. If you're not going to be able to defend the perimeter and be switchy, I get it. That's not his body type. Not fair to ask a guy like that. Friggin' defend the rim. And he did a good job of that yesterday, but you're absolutely right. They lack a guy who you can depend on in that respect. And they've got young guys, like I said, like Williams will be hopefully on the South Bay Lakers and all that. But in terms of an NBA player right now, it's a big hole. And I'm curious to see if they wait until March for, like, Tyson Chandler is a guy who could be bought out.
I'm already watching him.
Right.
I have my eye on it.
But I mean, do you wait till March for that? Yeah. Like, considering how big of a hole it is, if the Lakers can get through to that point and still be in good shape, that's great. But I have concerns too. There's also a question of who is out there right now that could credibly fill that position in a way that, like, yeah, that's our backup center. We could fill that. I'm not putting you on the spot. I just don't know if there are guys out there.
I keep coming back to Tarik Black. Like, he's still waiting there. He's in Europe. Yeah. I don't know his buyout situation and what that would even look like, but we've seen him. Like, we know what Tarik Black is capable of. When he was a Laker, I mean, maybe it was because his teammates around him were so bad that he looked better because of just by comparison. But I've always felt like he's a decent NBA center that you can throw out there for 10 minutes or so, and it won't be a disaster. That's all Lakers need.
I think that's a fair. I would not complain. And he's a great dude. I would not complain at all.
I love Tarik. Yeah. He's one of the more impressive interviews that you'll get in professional sports, really.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else that you want to add before we send people off to the weekend?
I mean, all of my concerns about the defense aside, like, this is going to be a really fun team. God, I think they've established an identity. They're going to run like hell and pass the crap out of the basketball. And, you know, I'm here for that. If they can just get some stops, I know that's going to eat at me all season. But, like, you already see what type of team this is going to be, and it's going to be an exciting one.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to finish on the funniest thing of the night. I don't know if you thought about that at all, but I did. I already have mine, so I'll start, and then I'll let you go after. During the game, I think it was Mark Spears said that we should probably start talking about Josh Hart in terms of the Lakers' young core and this and that and the other. And David West replied to him. David West replied to him and essentially said that Josh Hart put him into retirement.
Fantastic.
Yes. I need Josh Hart, or I need the Lakers at some point this year to have, like, in MLB, they have, like, their nickname game. Right. They have they do the jersey, the fun jersey. It's like Little League, and they all have their nicknames. Josh Hart's new nickname is Lil Mofo. Like, it's
you want to hear, like, the most galaxy brain take I think I've ever said on a podcast.
I can't wait.
Josh Hart for small ball five. He's our best post defender. You saw him on that pick and roll with Rondo the other day.
Yeah.
He's going to stand. He's going to rebound for us. Damn it. Josh Hart, back up small ball five.
All right. I'm here for it. Pete, I'm a little concerned about the effect I'm having on you.
A few people have said that. I'm punning now. Yesterday, Jeannie was like, I'm in a pun fight with Anthony. I'm like, yeah, you're going to lose.
She did great.
She did. So for me, this will be a personal one. I told you a little bit about it. I had a bit of a wild night at Staples last night. But my funniest part of the night was, I'm a shorter fellow, as many of you know. And there was a throng of media people. And I'm standing there, and I feel these two huge hands on my shoulder, kind of like rubbing my shoulders, but also pushing me forward. It was Luke Walton talking crap to me and using me as a fullback to, like, plow through the media throng.
That's amazing.
And so I took that as, you know, two bros broing out a little bit. You know, that's how I want to take that. So we had a good laugh.
Yeah. I just want to see the look on your face when you realize it was Luke. Because I imagine it being, like, full on, like twinkle in your eye, like, oh my God.
Well, yeah. And you know, I got a little bit of Napoleon in me, right? Where like another man lays his hands on me, like my initial reaction is, what the? And so it was kind of like a, this is all happening very slowly in my mind, but it's like a, what the? Hey!
Yeah. No, that's perfect. That's exactly how I would expect you to. What the monk? Oh!
Hey!
No, I wasn't about to MF you right there.
That's right.
All right. Well, that'll do it then for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. We're sending you guys off into the weekend. The Lakers send us all off into the weekend with a. I thought it was a fun game. I really enjoyed watching that. Jen was like, Fred, and by the way, Jen calls me Fred. It's my middle name. Jen goes, Fred, you realize it's a preseason game, right? I'm sitting there, but he traveled! But he, like,
we're not going to make it through this season. We're going to be in hospitals.
Hospice. Like, I'm not going to make it, like, period. I'm probably not. I've already, like, started to lose sight in one of my eyes. But, all right, that'll do it then for this episode, though. Have a great rest of your weekend. Be safe out there. We'll talk to you again on Monday. The Lakers don't play on Sunday, do they?
No, Saturday.
Cool. So we will have a Mailbag Monday show. Get your questions into iTunes in the form of a 5-star review, and I will answer all of them. And we'll be back to it with something. I'll recap what I see on Saturday for a little bit of Sunday night's recording. But we'll see. But make sure you get those questions in there. Shouts to Mizuma for supporting this podcast. We'll be back at it again. Thanks, Pete, for hopping on. Thanks, Skype, for not allowing us to record last night. That was really nice of you.
I think it worked out. I think we're both a little fresher than we would have been at circa midnight.
Yeah, I had a couple margaritas. Have a great day, bud.